out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 18th of April 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting live today at radioarian.com because we have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us from rustjournal.org. Matt, how are you doing today?
You know, there's no sound more irritating than cat throwing up. But they eat so damn fast. Just before the show, they're throwing up because there's four of them and they have to eat real fast. They compete with each other and then they throw it up and it drives me crazy. So after the show, I have that unpleasant task to do.
Well, at least it's not a decapitated mouse's head or anything like that. At least it's just cat food. Did you get that?
Well, I've had those too. I've mostly mouse bodies, but yes, I've had those too.
Well, I really can't think of a segue from that to what we're going to be discussing today, so I'll just dive straight into it.
I'm a difficult guest. There's no question about it.
We're going to be talking today about Israel's sudden shift to China and Donald Trump threatening Israel. And this is the first that I've actually heard about this, is Donald Trump making threats to Israel, because we keep hearing of how he's sucking up to them. And actually, the first article that we've got here comes from Sputnik News. That's where it comes from, Sputnik News. And it says, US President Trump has reportedly demanded that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu cut ties with China and is threatening to cut security cooperation with Tel Aviv. According to Axios report, the demand was made on March the 26th, minutes after Trump recognized the disputed Golan Heights as part of Israel. Alexander Azarjan, a professor of international political economy, senior geopolitical analyst and editor-at-large with Imperial News, had this to say about it. I don't think the Israelis, no matter how close they are to the West, especially France and the United States, are going to fight what's happening, what's going to be the future that's manifesting itself. That is, the concentration of power is going to be in the East. And by the East, I'm referring to Russia and China and India. This trend is unavoidable. You cannot fight against it. And yes, it is true that the US Navy's 6th Fleet has been in the port of Haifa for many decades now, but that's just a military arrangement. I think Israel is going to try to play both sides of the fence. That's what they usually do. If you've studied their history, before they even formulated into a country in 1947, 1948, I don't think the Israelis are naive to think to put all the eggs in one basket, as we say. They are going to hedge their losses. They are, of course, going to invest and have very lucrative deals with the United States, but they also know the storm that is on its way. China is going to be a long-term strategic economic adversary for the United States. It's not because of Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is just riding that populist wave, but that populist wave is alive and well in America, I can guarantee you, and it's going to continue in the decades to come. So what is he going on about there, Matt? What is all this about? This is the first that I've heard of Trump making threats to Israel here, and also this is somehow tied in with the Golan Heights as well.
Here's the first of all, this Azarjan, who's actually an American, although with a Turkish or Azerbaijani name, is somewhat of an idiot. You know, that he's the senior geopolitical analyst. He could take a hike. That's merely a military arrangement. Merely the 8th Fleet, 6th Fleet, I mean, just a military arrangement. And, you know, for him to say, well, it's perfectly okay for Israel to do as it pleases, against the United States, who has made every enemy on the planet because of Israel, who spent a fortune in it, because lost hundreds of men, thousands of men, actually, defending this ridiculous country. but it's perfectly okay for them to do as they please. Apparently, this man hasn't studied their history very much, or in fact, maybe he has, because it shows you their level of loyalty. And I had the feeling, I had predicted this a few years ago, that as the Israelis see the United States slowly collapsing, they're going to seek their money elsewhere. Not because they're necessarily going to jump ship right away, but because they see the writing. I mean, there's one thing that they know is the writing on the wall and the money issue. And they see what China's doing versus what the United States is doing and who's going to win this. So they're hedging their bets, in other words. And he doesn't like Trump. And, you know, for him to say that the Sixth Fleet there and everything the U.S. has done is just merely a military arrangement, and that the Israelis can put their eggs in one basket, really just shows kind of a stupidity. But also maybe he knows the Jews better than I think he does, because he's really explaining that it really doesn't matter. This is a sort of a political hypergamy where they're starting to see the U.S. slip, and they're going very slowly and surely, just like Turkey, to her secondary adversary, which is China. So to one extent, he's very incorrect. The other extent, he's very correct. And you really, to some extent, can't blame the Israelis for this, though it shows a level of chutzpah that even I didn't think they were capable of.
Well, they have managed to get away with everything they've always done before. So I really can't see them getting into trouble with this. I can see them continuing to play both sides, and I can see Trump just blowing hot air, to be honest. This Alexander Azarkan, he continues, he says, "So while the rest of the Middle East is fighting and bickering among themselves, the Israelis are milking it when it comes to natural gas, and if there's going to be any contract with the Chinese regarding natural gas exports, and if the Chinese actually manage to defeat other bids from other countries, the Israelis are going to go with them. So I think these games that Mr. Trump is playing are not going to have customers in the near future." So is America trying to sell gas to Israel, and Israel is saying that they're going to buy their gas from China? Is this a similar sort of problem that we see happening with Europe wanting to buy gas from Russia? Is it a similar problem that we're seeing America threatening Germany and saying that they can't get their gas from Russia? Is that what's going on here? Is it about gas, Matt? Is America trying to muscle in on, yeah, on selling the gas to Israel?
It's gas is symbolic to, you know, the so-called special relationship. Trump essentially, you know, moved the embassy. His administration gave the, you know, Golan Heights, at least in symbolic terms. And he says, "Gee, I love how you thank me by going off to the Chinese for your infrastructure." And, you know, when he was first elected, I said, well, of course, Trump knows the Jews because he made his money in New York City real estate. And but apparently he doesn't. Because, again, very much like hypergamy in the sexual realm, Israel's going to go where the money is. It's going to go where the power is. It's going to go where the significance is. And so when you asked me before about the Golan Heights, and yeah, he expects payback, and that payback is a continued loyalty of the Zionist entity. But for a man who's worked with the Jews his entire adult life, he apparently hasn't learned anything. So this last part, Alexander is absolutely correct. And he's correct for the wrong reason, but he's correct by accident, because this is very much a political hypergamy, very Jewish. And Trump is, yeah, blowing hot air, as you say, and really sounds stupid for a man who's done nothing but work with the Jews, or compete against the Jews in Manhattan since I was a little kid. So he's right in this particular case. And yes, it's a very similar situation. But Trump is saying, wait a minute, we have this special relationship. What are you doing? Which shows a naivete with him. And as I've said many times before, Trump, for whatever his virtues and vices, when it comes to international politics, is way over his head.
So it's like, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, I scratch your back, why aren't you scratching mine, kind of thing.
Precisely.
Well, we got another report from Sputnik News here. According to Axios report, the demand was made on March the 26th, minutes after Trump declared recognition of the disputed Golan Heights as part of Israeli territory. This is a surprising contrast to the usual state of US-Israeli relations, considering Trump and Netanyahu are aligned on virtually every issue, according to Axios. However, this is not the first time that such a demand was made, Israeli officials disclosed. In January, National Security Advisor John Bolton reportedly made the same demand. State Secretary Mike Pompeo has also repeatedly raised the issue over the course of the last 6 months, according to the report. And we're only hearing about this now, Matt. Is this only being reported in Sputnik News that this is going on, or do you know that it's being talked about anywhere else?
Axios is not Greek, as it might sound. Axios is a Greek word that means worthy, as he is worthy. It's not Greek. It's a liberal enterprise. It's not very good. But they did scoop this report. Yeah. I've not heard of this until yesterday. I've not heard of the threats that Trump has made, saying that this is going to hurt our security agreement. A president has never said that in American history since World War II. And now you have Pompeo and Bolton. You know, these are Gentiles who approach Israel or approach the Jews with a Gentile point of view, that there's basic fairness, the scratching backs kind of thing, but they don't realize who they're talking to. Not only are they dealing with Zionists, but they're also dealing, Jewish Zionists, but they're also dealing with international politics, which apparently they don't know very well. Loyalty only exists in international politics to the extent that a country's its self-interest is being served. Then loyalty goes out the window. And that's not just an Israeli thing. That's an everything thing. And so it shows you how incompetent these guys are. And we've made this symbolic gesture, don't buy anything from China. And note, too, that this is right the very day that Netanyahu wins the election, which is the U.S. helped him win. He was in a lot of trouble for a while. He had a strong opposition, and he wins anyway, which suggests American interference. So they gave him the election. They can't say that, but come on, Netanyahu, we gave you the election. You were losing, and now, you know, this is what you do. And it just shows you how naive these men really are and how dumb they are and what the nature of this so-called special relationship really is.
Well, he was being investigated for corruption as well, wasn't he? Netanyahu.
He had scandals all over the place, influence buying, bribery, military corruption, procurement corruption, everything else. And the U.S. intervened to squash a lot of that. Holding some money hostage. You have to give it to Trump, though, that he's not acting as he is kind of a stooge, but this is the first time anyone has said, God damn it, you need to toe the line with us. And Israel said, well, no one's ever spoken to us like that before other than Putin. And you're no Putin. So this only means that they're going to go further and further to China. And, the Chinese, of course, are more than happy to move in. So that's the story, and it shows you, again, I like using the word hypergamy here because it's exactly what this is.
Well, when you think about it, this relationship is supposed to be the other way around, isn't it? I mean, right after Trump recognized Golan Heights, Netanyahu sent a tweet out saying, I'd like to thank you, Donald Trump, for acting on my recommendations. So it's Netanyahu that tells Donald Trump what his recommendations are, and then Donald Trump carries them out. It doesn't work the other way around. Trump doesn't get to tell Israel what to do. I really think he's not going to have any success with this at all. But he is right to be worried when you think about it. Again, this is another report from Axios from the day before, April 14th. Israeli officials have said that Trump was concerned that the Chinese had won several major infrastructure projects, like the new port in Haifa, where the US Navy's 6th Fleet has operated for decades. Israeli officials said the US is also concerned about Chinese telecommunications companies like Huawei being involved in the future of building 5G infrastructure in Israel. According to Israeli officials, Netanyahu doesn't have a problem with pledging not to let Chinese telecom companies build Israel's 5G network. The biggest issue is the Haifa contract, since construction at the new port has already started, and cancelling the deal now would cause a huge crisis with China that Netanyahu is seeking to avoid. I mean, this would mean that China would know everything about what's going on with the American fleet there. They could have cameras there. They're obviously going to be interconnected with the government, with the intelligence agencies, with the Israeli intelligence agencies, because they're working directly with the government here. And this is a very important, I would suggest, a very, very important naval base, isn't it, for America, Haifa, with the Chinese doing this, doing all their work around it?
This is a brilliant move by the Chinese. You can't deny it. Here's my understanding. Now, this is where I'm getting conflicting information. While some of the Israeli companies were involved in the 5G infrastructure, because of the EMF issue, and I've learned quite a bit about EMF over the years, it doesn't affect me, but it has affected some friends of mine, that while Israeli companies are involved in its creation, it is not going to be deployed in Israel. It's going to be sent elsewhere because they're worried about EMF hurting people and even the Earth in general, because this is a very powerful EMF field that's being created. I'm no expert on the issue. But now they're saying here, again, Axios, I don't trust them, but they have scooped some great stories. But apparently that they're claiming here, I think there's just naive on that respect. Maybe Israel hadn't made that announcement yet, just a few days ago. Regardless, what you said is absolutely right. It's a brilliant move on China's part. But still, can you imagine the Israelis were well aware of what the Americans were going to say or at least think when they signed this deal with China? The very port where the Sixth Fleet is operating. Dan, you talk about a victory here. They really gave the finger to the U.S., and the U.S. isn't going to do anything. And I believe this was long before Netanyahu was reelected. The contracts were initially signed because construction is ongoing. You can't blame him for not wanting to stop in the middle, but he was well aware of what the U.S. was going to say, and he was well aware of what this meant. If you remember, you know, this is not the first time that Israel's had ties with China. There's always been the theory pushed by my old friend Michael Collins Piper that when China exploded their nuclear weapons in 1964, that's where Israel went to get their nuclear technology. But even without that, this is not the first time that they've worked together. Jews know money, and they see what China's doing, and it's no surprise that they're doing this. Trump knows money, but apparently these guys are very naive, as you said the last time. You know, Trump doesn't really seem to see how they work. There is no special relationship. They just like taking money from us. But this is a huge middle finger to the United States and a victory for China, and just showing the arrogance of Netanyahu, despite the fact that the entire country is based on the United States and to some extent based on that very Sixth Fleet.
It's certainly biting the hand that feeds you, but that is what you would expect from them. Well, there are serious security issues involved with China's ties to Israel now, and this report comes from The Diplomat. Chinese investment and construction activities present distinct concerns, although one general issue underlies both types of worries: the nature of ties between Chinese companies operating in Israel and the Chinese government, armed forces, or military entities. Any large Chinese company likely has links to the government and is expected to cooperate with its security and intelligence apparatus. The primary concern regarding investment relates to Chinese ownership of companies that might possess sensitive technology or data, while concerns over construction center on the use of infrastructure projects to further Chinese foreign policy goals. Chinese investment and construction activity in Israel could lead to transfers of military or dual-use technologies to China, threats to Israeli intellectual property, and potentially to the competitive advantage of Israel's tech companies, and surveillance opportunities and threats to consumer data privacy. I think this is quite big, isn't it? Because China is very big on tech, and Israel are also now very big on tech together. So you've got the two of them working together. Is that one of the points that you wanted to raise about this, Matt, the tech company side of it?
Yeah, I want to make it clear that the author of these lines is a very young Israeli writer. And this first paragraph here, you know, I rolled my eyes, you know, no kidding. And she's deliberately saw-stepping it here. She's well aware that all of this is not possible. It's true. Of course, a company this large working in such a strategic field is going to be owned by the state, at least controlled by the state. So any of this tech stuff from the U.S. Sixth Fleet to the Israelis, to the Chinese, then to American corporate espionage in the U.S., it's all now one horizontal line. It's a brilliant move. And so what she's saying is such a threat. No, of course, this is absolutely real. This is absolutely true. And that's the point here. of course, this is a state-controlled or even a state-owned company. I don't know specifically who's doing it. But, of course, as you say, they have cameras, they have radio, they have all kinds of intercepting equipment here. They're going to know more about the Sixth Fleet than the Americans do. And again, the Israelis were well aware of this. This is not only a security matter, but a matter of economic espionage. And of course, you know, you can't, I don't think the Russians are very happy about this. But the other thing to note here is that the Chinese have condemned American action in the Golan Heights. They've also condemned the move of the embassy to Jerusalem. So they're no friend necessarily of Tel Aviv. But again, the Han Chinese know how to operate in this environment. This is a massive coup for them. And to be honest with you, Sven, I'm not really seeing the payoff for Israel here, except in the long-term thinking of trying to attach themselves indirectly to a rising power. But this may cause more problems than Netanyahu and the government's able to handle. And I wonder what the Labour Party is going to say about this in the Knesset meetings in the future.
Well, it may just be, you know, I mean, this famous Jewish love for making money. It may be that the Chinese have offered the lowest tender for all these infrastructure projects, and the Jews are just saying, well, yeah, well, let's take that. That's going to be a lot cheaper than using anybody else, and they're not seeing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a short-term mentality, though, and it's true. I mean, you know, Israel's done very well in the long term. You may well be right, but it seems to be they may well be testing the waters here. Let's see what the U.S. does when we do something like this. So they're getting two birds with one stone. They're attaching themselves to China and the rising power over there, as well as testing what the U.S. is going to say. And I think you're right. I think Trump is just blowing hot air.
Well, I also think all these infrastructure projects, I mean, they're not, China isn't just building them in Israel. They're building them all around the world. And it will mean the same issues will be happening, because they will be linked up with the governments of whatever country it is that's building it. And it's essentially the Chinese government that are building all the infrastructure everywhere. So I think there is a genuine worry that, you know, China could essentially replace America and take over everything just through these infrastructure projects. I forget what it's called.
This is what empires do. This is what the US has always done. The British has always done. This is what the Chinese have always done. It's a simple matter of self-interest.
What's it called, Matt? It's not the Silk Road Initiative. It's the Something and Roads Initiative.
The Silk Roads Initiative. The scholarly literature always calls it that. It's a translation from the Chinese, so there may be more than one translation from the Chinese. In Russian, it's a Silk Road Initiative. The Asian Belt can be another one. I've heard that before. It has various names, but it's the same. The New Silk Road is the general translation from the Chinese. Yeah.
And it's just building the roads everywhere. So, and of course, if you have the roads, you have the cell phone networks that are there, the fiber optic networks. You're basically, you know, you could put a tap in there and tap into all the data that's passing through there. It could also then be passing through China, just through them building these infrastructure projects.
Yeah. I have a lengthy paper on the New Silk Road and how threatened the Europeans are. Germany, again, has split with the EU and said, no, we're investing in this because it's a great thing to connect everything from essentially Moscow to down south to the deep Middle East, and then over east through Iran, India, and up into China. That's one hell of a project. And that does mirror to some extent the old actually, it's a bit further east, the old Silk Road where Islam was initially founded, the caravan traffic there. That's a road that the Mongols traveled. So that this is being redone under both Russian and Chinese auspices, the U.S. is fuming. But both the French and the Germans, which are the heart of the EU, have said, I don't care what you bluster, we're going to be a part of this. And in this article I've done, it's on my Patreon page, I show all the attacks that the EU has made on this. It's irresponsible, you're not going to make money, any lie, including the U.S., always it's bluster about sanctions. Let them try to sanction the Germans and see how well that goes.
Well, let's continue with this article here from The Diplomat, because they're talking specifically about this. They say involvement in infrastructure projects such as ports and rail that are adjacent to important military bases could present risks of cybersecurity, data privacy, and espionage, especially if Chinese companies install and have access to cameras, radio, fiber optics, and cellular networks. Both construction and investment activity raise concerns of Chinese Turkey's social and political influence. An example of such influence was demonstrated in 2013 when the Chinese government conditioned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to China on Israel ending a federal court trial in New York against the state-owned Bank of China, which was accused of laundering Iranian money for terror activity by Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Netanyahu agreed, and what had been described as the most significant and contentious terrorism financing case ever filed in New York was dismissed. I mean, I find that really, really surprising. You know the fuss that Israel makes about Iran and about them being terrorists. To just drop this child because China effectively said so, if you want to do business with us, drop this child.
Exactly.
I'm amazed at that.
Exactly. Isn't it hilarious?
Yeah.
Well, this is what you get when you have a state-owned bank. China and Iran are allies. They're going to do business together. Of course, some of that money from the Iranian side invested in China is going to go to their allies in fighting the Zionists. That's how it's going to go. China doesn't think that they're terrorists. Both Russia and China support Hamas and Hezbollah, especially, which is a Shiite militia. Both Putin and China have aided them. Helped arm them and defended them diplomatically. China just said this is who we are. These are our allies. This is the greatest victory of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, because the countries heavily invested in this will also include Pakistan and India, Iran, Armenia, China, Russia. That's the core of the whole thing. Not to mention the Central Asian states like Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, all members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Now, Turkey wants in, Syria wants in, clearly, and will get in, and that'll be a part of their economic recovery. And they're all going to have to be state-owned banks, because they're going to have to play along. They can't be connected with Rothschilds, because Rothschilds may try to get into this. But they certainly are angry at it at the moment. They're being kept out, some pressure from the EU and the US. Of course, Rothschilds do what they want, but the Chinese don't really trust these people. And Putin knows the score more than anybody. So we'll see how that develops. But this is a massive coup. And yes, I did follow that case. It doesn't surprise me that it's dismissed. And if it was a private bank, they probably would have folded. But because this is a state, there's only so much they can do. But they're allies, and that's how it's going to be.
Well, what do you think are the main issues from this then, if we can sum them up here, Matt? What are the main issues that we can take away from this?
Well, I think the first thing, as I've said many, many times before, not just Israel, but a lot of countries are seeing the slow collapse of the United States. It's probably the first thing, and they're hedging their bets. You may see this happening, too, with countries like Kuwait, and Kuwait's also involved the Chinese, by the way, so much for thanks. And Saudi Arabia is going to be worried, too, as time goes on. Countries that have hitched their wagon to the American star are upset. They really don't trust the U.S. Turkey is a huge example of that, probably the most significant example, and probably equal to that is the Germans. As I said before, China has no love for Zionism. They've been arming Hamas and Hezbollah for many, many years. This is a way to gain, really to bloody the nose of the U.S. and see what Trump will do about it. And as I said before, you know, China has condemned so many aspects. You know, they voted with the Russians, all of these resolutions in the U.N., against Israel, and Israel's aware of this. So this is a matter of dollars and long-term planning. And as I've said, I'm not saying that the West has banned investment in this new Silk Road Initiative, but they've come close to it. But there's simply no way that they could put sanctions on every country. Can you imagine putting sanctions on India, Germany, Turkey? I mean, it's absurd. The U.S. is going to end up completely isolated. One of the big dark horses here is Japan. And at the moment, I'm not sure where they're kind of, they may end up in South Korea, may end up sticking with the U.S. I'm not entirely sure. But one thing I mentioned here, too, is that the Jews are not going up against dumb Americans here. They're going up against a very tightly organized nationalist Han Chinese ruling class in China. And I'm telling you, if the Jews meet their match with anybody, it's going to be them. As I've said many, many times, I can't wait to see what happens when these dumb Christian Zionists and all these other characters start seeing how Israel thanks the U.S. and thanks these people for all of their trillions of dollars over the years when they slowly but surely move towards the Silk Road and the Chinese. The big difference here, though, is that if Israel thinks that they're going to move in, even with Rothschild money, and start telling the Russians and the Chinese what to do, like they're used to doing, they're in for it, because it isn't going to happen. But the final thing I want to say is, when you have a president who says, you know, damn it, Israel, you know, this is going to hurt our relationship if you keep doing this, that's panic. No president has ever done that. To go to put the finger into their faces, that's fear. To do that, to take that risk, that's fear. And I've been saying this for a long time. You're going to see this lashing out more and more in the West. So that, I think, summarizes it to the best extent I can.
Well, I mean, it may be the first time that he's threatened them, but I think he has already sort of walked it back a bit. I mean, he announced the other day that Israel would never face the International Criminal Court, and neither would any other ally of America. So what's being sort of presented to America and the rest of the world is everything's fine. America is really tight with Israel. And then behind the closed doors, there's all of this going on. And it does show that America is very worried about China. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.